Sometimes I wish that I had easy answers about the word God, the concept God. Recently, a friend of mine asked me in a casual conversation, "What are your beliefs about God?" And probably a couple of months ago, as we were getting into the car after church, my four-year-old said to me, "Mom, do we believe in God or not?" I have this, I don't know what went on at church that day, but it was right after she said to me, I wish Amelia, she's talking about Amelia McCarthy, was our kid. She's nice. Can't argue with that. I have a Jehovah's Witness friend, she's a visitor, visits my house frequently, I'm probably one of the few people who haven't told her to go away. So she keeps coming back and she reads the Bible to me and she asks me questions about how God works in my life and how God works in our world. And you know, I don't feel like I have any adequate answers for my friend, for my daughter, for my visitor. I guess my answer is it depends. Do I believe in God? Do we believe in God as a family? It depends. I was raised in a Presbyterian church, although church was never a big part of my life. And I was never shown a picture of God there when I was at church. But I grew up with the distinct impression that God was a he. Not only was he was this old white guy with a beard. I don't know where that came from. And he sat somewhere up in the sky. And he judged and controlled everything that went on here down below. And this concept of God was something that I was supposed to have faith in. I was supposed to believe it just because. But I could never get my head around that one being, no matter how supreme, could or would even want to control every single thing that went on down here. What I wore that day, what kind of car I drove, different choices that I made in life. I think when most people in our country speak of God, they speak of a male deity. They say he. God is a he. He is a judgmental entity that will damn me to eternal suffering in a place called hell if I don't follow his word, or at least some modern-day mortal's interpretation of what his word is or was. And no, the answer is I don't believe in that God. And I don't believe that God has a place in my church or in our church. Although it certainly is a Unitarian, not for me to say. But two things in particular bother me about this concept of God. The first is the notion that you can be a sinner all of your life, throughout your 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, and yet on your deathbed you can repent and receive a free one-way ticket to heaven, no matter what your life was in the past. I can't get my head around that one. The other notion is that there's no room for differences, that I could be the most kind, compassionate, giving, caring person in the world, and yet I could reject the existence of God my entire life. And the result would be that I would die and go to hell, which is a horrible place, and I would suffer and I would burn, and all sorts of horrible pictures would come about in my mind about what would happen to me, despite the compassion, despite the goodness that I had displayed all my life. That wasn't a concept that I could have faith in or believe in or that seemed logical to me. So I think before I came to this church about 2.5 years ago, if I was forced to answer, I would probably say, no, I don't believe in God. But I came here wondering if anyone else had a different definition for God than that I had been brought up with and that I saw around me every day. In the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, God is defined as the supreme or ultimate reality. Now, that's something I could sort of understand. So I thought maybe there were other people who didn't adopt this sort of traditional Western notion of God. And when I came here, since I've come here, I've learned a lot. Two things in particular about the definition of God that have been helpful to me. When I took the class, the UUNU class, with our minister, Kleber Van Zandt, my first few months here, he made a remark that he believed that God exists in the connections between us. And I don't think that he meant it to be teaching or prophetic or anything of the sort, just made the comment in conversation during our class. And I thought, now that I can believe in. That's a God I might be able to believe in. And as I learned more about our church and Unitarianism and listened and read, I learned about Michael Servetus and his definition of God. When his executioner, Calvin, asked if the devil was part of God, Servetus laughed and replied, "Can you doubt it? This is my fundamental principle, that all things are a part and portion of God, and the nature of things is the substantial spirit of God." Now that God, I think I could believe in. So here's what I've learned so far. And I think that it truly is fragment by fragment. And that's why I picked our first reading, because I don't claim to know the answers of what I'm talking about at all. But I've learned that when I hear Christians explain life in terms of miracles of God, why does something like that happen? Why does something wonderful happen? Why does something horrible happen? It's a miracle of God. It's God at work. I think that they almost have it right. But I think not that it's a miracle of God, but the miracles that we see or should stop and take a moment to see every day are God. That miracles are God. So when I look up and see the full moon shining out from beneath a thin veil of cloud, I don't see a miracle of God. I see God. And when I enjoy the beautiful purple and pink hues of a sunset, I don't look at that and say, "Wow, that's a miracle of God." I look at the sunset and I see God. And the brilliant colors of the spring and summer flowers could only be God. The fact that a teeny tiny sperm and a teeny tiny egg can produce the most beautiful, innocent, gorgeous, sweet baby is God. When I look into my adopted son's eyes and I see my eyes, I see God. When I see a couple who's been married for 50 years, holding hands, walking along on vacation, still enjoying each other's company, I see God. And when I sit in my chalice circle and someone who I barely know says something, and I think to myself, "Wow, I could have said that exact same thing. And I thought I was the only person who thought that." Then right here in our little Unitarian church, I see God. So what I see is that when you take time to stop and to look around and to think, pretty much everything here is a miracle. And all of those miracles are God. And so I think, well, yeah, I do believe in God. I believe in the sunset. I believe in kids, and I believe in relationships, and I believe in everything that's great. So then I don't know. Is the answer yes, I believe in God, because everyone defines God. Everyone. Most people define God as something way different than the God that I have found, especially since I've been at this church. And the answer kind of hit me a couple of weeks back when my Jehovah visitor was at my door reading Bible verses to me, asking me how my family tries to live life like Christ tells us to live life. And her questions always puzzle me because she knows I'm a Unitarian and she knows I don't own a Bible. And so I don't know what she thinks I'm going to say when she says, "How did my family try to live their life like Christ tells us to?" And I answered her something along the lines of, well, you know, we try to be kind to everyone, we try to respect people, we try to do no harm to others or to the environment. We try to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. We try to give so we can receive. And some of the things I started to say to her sounded a lot like some of the things I heard in church. I thought, oh God, she's not getting to me, is she? But what I realized is that she and I believe in the same God. We believe in the same God. Now, what this spurred me to want to ask her next time after I closed the door was first to say to her, thank you for being God. And if she didn't run, Bible in hand, from me, I was then going to ask her, do you really need the motivation of somebody giving you 10 commandments that kind of seem to me to be common sense? Do you really need the motivation of a desire to go to a place called heaven when you die? Do you need the motivation of the fear of going to a place like hell when you die? Do you need those things to be good, to live a Christ-like life? Because isn't the voices of the birds announcing the arrival of the morning sun enough? Isn't the softness of a baby's skin enough? Isn't the sound of the voice of a friend that you can call without hesitation at 3 a.m. enough? And isn't the joy in a lover's embrace enough? Aren't those enough motivation to be good, to do right, to live like Christ would? To do right, do you need to be motivated by fear of hell and fire? And my answer is no. And so I think my answer of whether I believe in God still depends. But the God that I have found here at this church through the lessons of all of you is a God that I believe in and am happy to have found. Thank you.